On page 1042 in the Church Bibles, it's Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 38. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset by many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
It was quite frankly one of the most awkward moments of my life. I don't know if you've been there, if you've ever been in someone else's home when they have a Barney in front of you. Your hosts are having a full-on domestic and you're sitting there and you just don't quite know what to do. Did you leave? Does that draw more attention to it? Do you kind of just pretend it's not happening? What do you do? And the context was this. We'd been out on a mission trip for a few days. It was quite a big team of us. And it was obvious after a few days of fending for ourselves, we needed a bath, we needed some food, we needed a decent night's sleep. And this lovely family invited us in. And there were quite a few of us. We felt a bit bad about it. But they said, "No, we've got a big house. We love doing this kind of thing. In you come." And it was just such a relief to take off our rucksack, leave them in the porch, have a big drink of water. Hadn't realized how thirsty we were. And then be sent off to go and have a bath. And hadn't realized how dirty we were. And then when we settled down in this living room, we had kind of given a glass of something refreshing. And hadn't realized how hungry we were. We could kind of hear the kind of vegetables being chopped in the kitchen, the onions being fried, and the kind of smell started coming through. And our team leader, this wonderful teacher, said, "Well, you've been giving out over the last few days. It's time to just get fed from the Bible ourselves." So he opened up the Bible and gave us a Bible study. And we could hear how much was going on in the kitchen. There was just a huge amount of work going on, and pots and pans were clanging. And trying to get ready a meal for 13 of us and find the cutlery to lay the table and to get the beds made and get the linen out. And it was a huge, huge amount of work. And what happened was that one of these two sisters who were in the kitchen, and we wanted to go and help, but we just felt a bit awkward in that culture. But one of the sisters came into the front room, and I just wanted to ask if we wanted a top-up. And she could hear what was being taught. And she just got distracted. She stayed around the door for a couple of minutes and then kind of crept into the room and crept a little further in and kind of found a corner on the floor to sit on. And we could hear the noise level in the kitchen go up. And the things where they'd been clattering, it was now banging. And there was kind of growing. You could just feel the tension in the house. And one of the sisters, she was called Martha, came to the door and opened it and looked in. And she just gave this evil death stare to the other sister who was called Mary, sitting on the floor, who was totally oblivious. She was just engrossed in what was being taught. And as the temperature in the room kind of rose, I looked at my friend Peter and he looked at his friend John, and we all kind of tried to catch Jesus' eye. And Jesus just kept going. Until Martha just snapped and said, "Jesus, sir, do you not have a problem with this? Are you okay with this? My sister is just sitting here leaving me to do all this work in the kitchen. I'm doing it all by myself. Can you tell her to just come on and help me?" And Mary's looking kind of very embarrassing. "Yeah, no, of course, sorry, Martha, I just got distracted. And And Martha's clearly right. She's doing everything by herself. And we expect Jesus to say, well, okay, Mary, come on, time to go and help your sister. But he doesn't. He turns very, very gently to Martha and says, Martha, my dear, Mary is not the one who is getting distracted here. You are. And what Mary has chosen is very good. And I'm not going to let you or anyone else take it away from her. That is my very loose translation of Luke 10, 38 to 42. Let's come back to 21st century. Because what we normally do, our normal pattern in all three churches in the benefice, is we try to work consecutively through chunks of the Bible. We want to let God set the agenda for what we're doing week by week. Once a year, at the start of the academic year, I try to do something a bit different. I try to pick one verse that I feel I need to pray in for myself for the year ahead, and I'm going to pray in for the churches as well. And so this is a sermon I am preaching to myself first and foremost. And the reason is that we are busy. Don't you feel that? Think of this term coming. We've got Christianity Explored starting in a few weeks. I mean, those notices were a bit ridiculous, weren't they? Christianity Explored started. New Central Bible Studies, we're going to trial those in a couple of weeks' time. We've got a marriage preparation course we're hoping is going to run later in the term. We've got the church hall roof that's trying to suck up as much time and money as we possibly can. It is lovely having Scott and Ange here. That is thrilling. But we've got a family's outreach strategy now to kind of think up from the ground upwards again. We've got a few weeks till harvest. We've got a few more weeks till the memorial service, then remembrance. And then here's a scary thought. After today, we've got 11 Sundays till Advent. And then the Christmas craziness kicks off. And I'm thinking in my head of today really as being the start of a long wind in to a mission week of talks and outreach in 2020. And all that is thrilling, exciting stuff. That is just the stuff going on around church. I know a lot of folk are under a lot of pressure at work, at kind of key points in their jobs and careers. There are many folk caring for children, some very young. Many are caring for parents, some very elderly, trying to cope with growing health difficulties. There is so much going on. There are so many things we could be distracted by. When there are so many good things going on, it's just hard to keep focus. It's hard to keep perspective. Is there one thing that ties it all together? Is there one kind of non-negotiable we've got to do for the year ahead? And this passage gives it to us. And the reason I particularly need to hear this, this will come as no shock to anyone, I don't think, is that temperamentally I'm a Martha. I love to be busy. I love to be doing stuff. I hate doing nothing. I hate getting bored. And so I desperately need to hear the great truths that this passage holds out to us. And the first one, I don't know if this will come to us as a bit of a shock. We'll do some thinking about it. But here's what I'm holding out as a kind of theme passage, a theme verse for this passage. At the heart of living for Jesus is doing nothing. Doing nothing is right at the heart of living for Jesus. And we think, no, that's not right. That just sounds like laziness. It sounds like slacking. It just sounds wrong. But isn't that the gospel? Doing nothing is at the heart of what it means to be a Christian. So it's often been said that every religion in the world is spelt with two letters, D-O, do. Do this, do this, do this, do more of this, do it better. Do it at greater cost to yourself. Only Christianity is a four-letter religion. Spelt D-O-N-E. Done. Jesus has done everything. And so to believe in Jesus, well, really, that is the opposite of doing anything. It is saying he has done everything. And so what is Mary doing in our passage this morning? The answer comes back. She is doing nothing. She is not moving a muscle. Martha is in the kitchen. She is cooking up a feast. Mary is in the living room. She is having a feast. Jesus literally says, Mary has chosen the better portion, the better kind of plate of food. So while Martha is cooking up the feast, Mary is feasting off what Jesus has to say. And that is better. See, there is a priority here that we are so quick to forget, that what Jesus does for us is infinitely more important than anything we can do for him. I mean, just asking that question, does Jesus need you? Is there anything Jesus needs us to do for him? We sometimes say things like, Jesus needs us to be his hands and feet on earth. No, he doesn't. Not in any absolute sense. I know what people are trying to say there. But there is, if God is the God who made heaven and earth, everything in the universe belongs to him, what does he need from us? Nothing. He is the God who gives and gives and gives again and gives himself. He's not the God who takes. And it may be that you're here this morning and you wouldn't call yourself a Christian, and you've just got this impression that becoming a Christian means going to church and taking on a huge list of more and more jobs. And if that's you, I am so sorry that that's what we've communicated about being a Christian. See, at the heart of being a Christian is not what we do for God. It is all about what he does for us. There's this iron law, I'm told. I think it's somewhere in Leviticus that 80% in all churches, 20% of people do 80% of the work. I'm sure that's true. I think at St. James, I don't know how this works mathematically, but I think most people are part of the 20%. We are busy. And if, like me, you're a Martha, it is so easy to forget. And our service of Jesus flows out of what he has done for us, not the other way around. And when we do forget it, it just turns ugly so quickly. Do we spot that? Can we imagine Martha's at the door and she's just full of joy to see Jesus and the disciples? Oh, boys, it's been too long. You're looking so thin. We'll have to feed you up. You need a bath. Oh, it's great to see you. 20 minutes later, she's banging the pots and pans and giving death stares. How does it turn so quickly? See, it's Martha who got distracted. It wasn't Mary. She forgot that what she was doing was for Jesus. And so very quickly that turned into self-pity, which turned into resentment. And who is that resentment directed against? Well, yes, against others who aren't pulling their weight, because if there's one thing Martha hates, it's a slacker. But actually, did we notice the scolding tone in verse 40? Lord, don't you care? Whose fault is it? It's Jesus. She's got the most caring man in the history of the world is sitting in her front room, and she's saying, Lord, don't you care? She's just lost sight of what it looks like to serve Jesus. And I want to be very careful in how I say this, because exhaustion and burnout are very, very complicated things. There's all kinds of factors in there. But I am scared by how many folk, particularly around St. James, feel like they're on the edge of exhaustion and can't keep going. And I've felt that myself, of just that kind of tiredness over the last year. And I wonder how many of us are just in danger of forgetting that at the heart of being a Christian is not what we do for God. It is what the Lord Jesus has done for us. The heart of living for Jesus is doing nothing. Which is why, for this coming week, at just the point when, if you're feeling like me, I'm raring to go. I just want to get on with the year. We've had 6 weeks of lovely break, but there's so much to do. I want to get on with it. And that's why this week we're planning to do nothing We haven't quite cleared the decks. The message got out a bit later. I wasn't very clear. It was that's my fault. But the goal is to do nothing, which is another word for prayer. So when we think about it, prayer is doing nothing, isn't it? It is the opposite of doing something. When you're facing a challenge, talking to Jesus about it is the opposite of doing anything. So there are mornings I come down and I think about what's in my inbox and I think about my diary for the day, and my to-do list, and I kind of physically, I kind of jiggling, I just want to get on, and I have to physically hold myself to force myself to sit down and open my Bible, and even then I get distracted so quickly. There is one big application from this passage, that the one non-negotiable for this year ahead is that we sit at Jesus' feet. When Jesus says one thing is needful, the commentators tear themselves into pieces trying to work out what is that one thing that's needful, trying to come up with what propositional truth Jesus is trying to teach here. I think he's not giving us a proposition, he's giving us a picture. What's the one thing that's needful? It's to sit at his feet in the place of humility, the place of submission, the place of listening. And so this year, at the heart of what we do, what is the one thing we can't lose? It is the relationship with the Lord Jesus, hearing him speak to us in the Bible and talking back to him in prayer. And I think it would be 100 times easier if this week we were asked to do something big and impressive, something demanding and difficult, that at the end of the week we could look back and say, oh, I've done it. We've done it. Yeah, at the end of this week, what are we going to have to show for a week of prayer meetings? Not a lot. And so we're just going to waste an hour, morning and evening, sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to him talk to us in the Bible, and speaking to him in prayer. And I've had to repent of my reluctance of it. I kind of put this in the diary thinking, okay, we ought to do this. This would be a good thing to do, but oh my word, it feels like a bit like hard work. And I've had to repent of that. In God's kindness, I'm really looking forward to it. Because what does Mary do? She does this out of joy. She sits at Jesus' feet in delight. No one had to sit her down and say, Mary, this is what we do around here. We have a quiet time for a certain length of time in the morning. We read the Bible and then we pray, and then that's how you ought to do it. It was Mary's delight to sit at Jesus' feet. And that is what Jesus wants us priority to be. What he is concerned about doing in us is more important than what we do for him. It's I need your help with this. I need help this week to encourage me to come to these meetings and keep praying. I need help through the year. And the question for me, it may be different for others, the question that I need to be asked is not just, Simon, have you read your Bible and prayed today? Because I'm a Pharisee. I normally do read my Bible and pray at some point. The question is, Simon, have you enjoyed it? Did you just do it as another thing to tick off your to-do list? Was it just another chore? Because the danger is that Marthas like me hear a sermon like this and think, oh, well, there's another thing I've got to do. There's just another thing on my list in the morning. But Jesus is not asking us to spend time with him as something that we do for him. This is something he wants to do for us to listen to him. So will you this week come and pray? Will you this year spend that time day by day sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to what he has to say to us and talking back to him? That is, I take it, faith in action. That instead of doing something, we're spending time with Jesus. That instead of doing something, really, we're preparing for heaven, where we'll be able to enjoy that relationship with Jesus forever. And we are winding up now. We're heading for a close. But there is something I need to say. I think in the interest of balance, if the one big thing we needed to hear from these verses is that at the heart of living for Jesus is doing nothing, we need to hear that the flip side of that is that the heart that has understood that is willing to do anything for Jesus. What is the sign that you have understood that living for Jesus means doing nothing? It is that you are willing to do anything for Jesus. And this is not a call to laziness. It's not a call to slacking. The context of this story is the parable of the Good Samaritan, verse 37. That parable ends with Jesus telling the expert in the law, go and do likewise. So the application of this passage isn't kind of embrace the contemplative life and go and be a monk or something. That'd be a very bad application. The application is not don't take on Martha's workload. Martha's workload is wonderful. I wonder if one of the reasons Jesus kept coming back to Bethany with his disciples was that lovely hospitality that he enjoyed from Martha. So whatever gifts we've got, whatever abilities we have, whatever opportunities we have in this year ahead, we want to be using them all out for the Lord Jesus in whatever sphere of life that is. For some of us, that'll look like changing nappies. For others, it'll look like changing car tires. For others, it'll look like taking a friend out for meeting up with them for coffee or visiting them in a care home. Maybe it's sending an encouraging text. Maybe it's, teaching people as you go to work to, teach people to fly jet planes or teach toddlers how to use the toilet or teach the mix about the things of God. We want to do it with all our heart. We don't want to be slacking. We don't want to be trying to do as little as possible. But the key question is, how are we doing it? It has got to flow out of an understanding that what Jesus does for us is of infinitely greater importance than anything we can do for him. That the heart of living for Jesus is doing nothing. That there is nothing we can do to earn his love, to earn forgiveness, to make him love us more. As Charles Spurgeon put it like this, talking about Martha, he said, her fault was not that she served. That's really important. Her problem wasn't that she served. That condition, he said, well becomes every Christian. Her fault was that she was cumbered with much serving. She distracted. The irony of these verses is that what kept Martha from serving Jesus was all the things that she thought she was doing for Jesus. Wouldn't that be a terrible thing at the end of this year to look back and say, actually, we did all these things for Jesus and they stopped us serving him. And so it is great. It is great that we have Martha's workload ahead of us. That is a wonderful thing. But it will be a terrible thing unless we do it with Mary's heart. And the lovely thing about these verses is that both sisters learnt that lesson. One writer put it like this, I hadn't seen this before this week, that in John chapter 12, Mary takes this incredibly precious jar of perfume, possibly her dowry. This is a family heirloom. This is unbelievable value. And she breaks it over Jesus' feet and washes his feet with her hair to anoint him for his burial. And the writer I read this week said, that Mary really was the first person to believe in the cross. And Martha, the chapter before in John 11, after her brother Lazarus has just died, says to the Lord Jesus, Lord, I believe you are the resurrection and the life. She's the first to believe in the resurrection. They both understood that at the heart of living for Jesus is doing nothing. It's all about what he has done for us. And having understood that, they were ready and willing to do anything for him. Amen.